symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome to ARN. This is Paul Bromwell, and today I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, the founder of the Four Horsemen, the one of all-time great tag team wrestlers, and as we found out last week, one hell of a human bullshit detector. He's the enforcer. He's double A. He's Arn Anderson. Arn, how are you this week, my friend?
You're referring to Mr. Hurd, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah. Buddy, listen. And we're just going to jump right into it because I wanted to take a moment and talk about some of the feedback we got on social media from last week's episode. And man, I tell you what, the socials lit up, my friend, and the fans agree with you concerning the, you know, us and the discussion we had about Jim Hurd and, you know, him just being a fool of a lot of shit, my friend. So people really enjoyed your rebuttal of some of the claims that he made.
Well, you know, I always try to tell it like it is. There's no reason to try to sugarcoat anything or go back or dump more, you know, dump on the guy more than he deserves, but he deserves all of it. He took a lot of lives and just, you know, turned them upside down and ruined a lot of lives with his pay scales and all these lies and things that he said he was paying out or was prepared to pay out and all that. I mean, when you're talking about dealing with years, you know, prime years and prime earning years of athletes, pro athletes, and we fit in that category, they're very limited. And when you have a guy screw you up over hundreds of thousands of dollars for no apparent reason other than he's not qualified to make that judgment, it rubs me the wrong way.
Oh, and it's going to stick with you. I mean, no doubt about it. You're going to remember that for a long time. And then, too, as we dug into it and talked about some of his comments about the Midnight Express and about their size and couldn't bring value. And to me, that was when I was like, he had no idea what he was doing in the wrestling business. I mean, that was the icing on the cake. So
it would be like saying the Rock and Roll Express were too small to be believable baby faces.
Yeah. I had no idea. Was not definitely not a fan of wrestling or true pro wrestling fan. He was a business guy, pizza guy, and but I thought that was really good. Just how we were able to parlay that in there, and I have to give credit where credit was due. The research guy, who does a phenomenal job week in week out, coming up with a lot of the content for the show, had a brainchild and said, "Listen, I think it would be great. We already own the content." Conrad had put it together, the interview, and this is the perfect time to introduce this to Arn and the show. And so thank you to our research guy, and man, so good. Listen, you can get that entire interview exclusively at adfreeshows.com, and just a lot of content over there. But man, appreciate it. Great community over there. And Arn, I really do thank you for your candid thoughts and feedback. That was a really fun show. It was a big hit with our audience, and it's always good to get some of your honest candor with some of that. Before we do jump into this week's show, because we're going to get off and run, we're going to talk August 1991. I do want to remind you all that the ARN Show and Four Horsemen merchandise is available. And when I say that, it's not only the cool t-shirts. If you're watching on YouTube, which hopefully you're checking out our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/ARN, but, you know, I'm wearing the established in 1982. Arn's got on his Four Horsemen shirt. Now you can get those Four Horsemen hats, the Four Horsemen jackets. We're going to be working on a project, Arn, your idea. Some of the guys that have bought the Four Horsemen jackets to kind of give their thoughts and put a little testimonial together. We're working on getting some of the orders pulled so that we can see who some of you are. And then maybe put a little testimonial video together for our YouTube channel. But, man, this is stuff that you haven't been able to get your hands on. If you're a horseman fan, longtime horseman fan, or Arn Anderson fan for a very, very long time. And Arn, the quality of what we're putting out right now is top notch, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I wasn't going to brag on it or push it, or I don't want to seem like I'm just out there hawking merchandise. These are things that have been requested of me, and I've tried over the years to no avail to get it done. And like I said, Paul, I give you the credit for making that hook up to our people in Nashville. Want to thank you guys for being a partner in something you can be proud of 20 years down the road. When somebody walks by with one of those jackets on, you could say, hey, we put that together.
Yeah,
it's top shelf work.
It is. It's quality. And boxofgimmicks.com, you'll follow it to the Orange Show Four Horsemen links. That's where it all is. Guys, take advantage of it. I'm telling you, you'll feel part of the club, the Horseman Club, when you own some of that merchandise. So we cannot thank you guys enough for that. Mark Race, a lot of love for you, my friend, with the connection with the folks over in Nashville that are helping us out. Listen, hey, finally, we're halfway through February as you and I sit down and record this. Go ahead. You want to say something, Arn?
Just so that I know I'm brain dead and I had a long travel
it's
weekend.
It's all good.
This show we're up to speed on, right? This airs this Sunday.
This is going to come out this Saturday, yes, sir.
Well, let me, before we get it, pass it up, and it's a first-time opportunity for me, these Horror Con. It's going to be up in Concord Mills, which is 25 miles from my house. I'm there all weekend, just me, and it'll be Ron Simmons.
Oh, nice.
Lex Luger, myself, Scotty Steiner.
Oh, the guys we're talking about today, man. Ron Simmons, you, Luger. Sounds good.
It's perfect. We're going to be there all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So please, I haven't attended one of these Horror Cons before. It's new to me, so I'm going to be bug-eyed watching all these crazy characters walk around. So come see me. Huh?
There you go. Hey, listen, guys, and the easiest way to do that is our awesome guy over at our social media account, Marcus, has been posting about it. I saw it. Arn, on your social media, he's posting that you're going to be there. So that's the easiest way to find out the information. So, Arn, you and I are recording on Valentine's Day, peek behind the curtain. And so this coming weekend, that is where he's going to be. And we're going to work with your man, Tony, and try to get some of your appearances a little bit more ahead of schedule so that we can keep our listeners and fans ahead of and up to date where you're going to be so they can meet you. Because I'm telling you, that's where the real bonus to all this comes out, is not only when they get to meet you, Arn, but when you get to shake their hands and thank them for everything that they've helped do to support you in your career.
You're not kidding. Just this past weekend, I was in Williamson, West Virginia. It was a 300-plus-mile drive through the mountains, and something that was just treacherous. But at the end of the day, when I got there, and we were a little bit late, I apologize then. I apologize again. Not professional. I just had no idea. It's like they have a saying in West Virginia, 30 miles, 2.5 hours. So it's rough terrain getting there, but the people were all, lined up and waiting. And it was awesome to get to meet everybody. That's what I really enjoy doing these days.
Arn, since you mentioned it and are talking about meeting everybody and the long road trips and stuff you're still doing on the weekends, I want to mention this. And then, guys, I promise, guys and gals, we'll jump into the show. You and I got the break bread a few weekends back at Jimmy's Famous Seafood. You all hear an ad for this place a little bit later in our show for those that, are not on ad free. Buddy, how good was that meal at Jimmy's Famous Seafood that we had together?
It's hard to even put a price on it or gauge it or try to compare it to somewhere else, because I haven't had any place that does crab like they do crab. Man, the food is just phenomenal. The people there are so nice.
They're great.
And just a great atmosphere. What an eclectic group of customers that were walking around.
Packed. It was packed. We're seeing people from actresses from The Wire television show. They had someone there from The Office that night. I mean, Arn Anderson's freaking there. The Wall, right. All the celebrities they've had. I mean, but you and I were sharing crab cake egg rolls, which, by the way, fantastic. Massive crab cakes. I got the colossal. I mean, I just focused on the colossal, the 1-pounder. You remember that. And, yes. Man, we had a time. Brock was loving life. I mean, he was eating a little bit of everything. He had their sushi. He had their crab cakes. He had their it's all good. So we just had a blast together, and I just had a lot of fun spending time with you guys.
We'll be back to see you again, guys. Appreciate the hospitality. Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. Well, listen, Arn, along with the response to the Jim Herd interview, we had a lot of listeners that find Larry That's right. Larry Zbyszko to be entertaining. And it might be because he was with you or even because he beat Bruno. Who knows? But nonetheless, we have some hardcore fans that love the Cruncher. So let's pick up where we left off last week as you and Larry have begun your quest to become tag team champions. Guys, we're going to jump in and we start this episode with a match between you and Yellow Dog, Arn, and it takes place on August 3rd, 1991. I see your eyes get big. That's right. It's Flying Brian, and he's got a mask now. They're calling him Yellow Dog, and as we saw a couple weeks ago, he lost a tag match to you and Barry, and he was forced to leave the company. So part of the stipulation there was he's out at the Clash of Champions. In reality, the whole goal with Brian was to freshen up some of the creative a little bit. Even so, the powers that be knew Pillman and Anderson would deliver a great match. And guys, you did. And we got the NWA Pro clip from August the 3rd as we kick off our August 1991 coverage this week. This is our first clip we have for this week. It's August the 3rd, 1991 from NWA Pro. Arn, you ready?
You bet.
All right, let's take a look.
Anderson continues. Choking now.
It's not a choke till a five count.
Okay. Ah, the ropes.
Sleeper! Anderson's in trouble.
I can't see if he's got it hooked good or not from this angle. Arn's got a big, big neck.
Wow.
That's where that power comes in.
Well, that's a great wrestling counter move right there. Yellow Dog.
I got to give him credit. The Yellow Pillman really has given Anderson a heck of a battle here, which again testifies to the fact that it is Flying Brian.
Slap to the chest. Patent a Yellow Dog move. Yellow Dog over the top, and they collide. Yellow Dog is down.
And he was facing the other way. He didn't even see the Yellow Dog coming off the rope.
Both men down on the outside. And a fight breaks out on the floor.
I'm going to have to go down here, Tony. I'm going to have to go down here myself. I don't like what's happening right now to the enforcer.
Wait a minute.
I'll be back later.
Wait. Where's Larry? Come back. Larry going down to the ringside area, and this battle is going on underneath the ring. He's got the mask. Arn Anderson has the mask. I don't know what the verdict is going to be. But there goes Larry Zbyszko. One out of the enforcers. And now the Z-Man. What's going on down here? And Larry Zbyszko being pulled under the ring! Larry Zbyszko! Larry, where are you? Oh, and the Yellow Dog has Larry shook, wrapped around his head! Super kick from behind! And there they go! The Z-Man and the Yellow Dog! And I have no idea where Larry Zbyszko is!
All right, there we go. A little Larry Zbyszko and Z-Man action at the end. But listen, there's no doubt it's Brian Pillman. I mean, Larry's on commentary with Tony, openly calling him, Brian Pillman. But you guys had a really good match here. I know we just saw the end of it. As I said, Z-Man gets involved. Larry gets involved. We know that you and Larry here are the enforcers, but did pairing the four of you guys together and featuring you in a program serve to move beyond the Horseman storylines that all four of you, including Larry, were a part of the past several months? Do you think that was kind of the goal here with the shift in storylines? Let's get you out of the Horseman storylines and move you into some tag team work now.
It was a pretty quick turnaround. And I think once Flair left and, you know, that it was etched in stone, as we like to say. So it was a pretty quick turnaround putting Larry and I together. But, you know, we clicked pretty good, you know. Not bad at all. And the one thing that you notice is you look at Pillman and Zink just for that brief moment together. Good God. Was there a better-looking team, babyface team, at that time? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, the girls loved him. The little girls loved him. The older girls obviously loved him. The two good-looking guys and good performers. So it was a great fit for Larry and I.
Not only that, you've worked with Pillman. We've talked about it almost every single month this year, Arn. And yep. So there's a lot of familiarity. Yellow Dog, Pillman, it doesn't matter. You two have wrestled so much in the ring through these last several months here in 1991. So there's got to be some benefit to having that familiarity with him, even trying to get this little silly gimmick over.
Well, and it seems like a lot of times, you know, it's not like it was back in the Crockett days, you know, and because then you're working every day. I mean, I might have wrestled Pillman every TV for this period of time, but what seems like a lot of times could maybe only be 12 to 15 times if you ever actually break it down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just a different, and it was a brand new era, and it was a television era, and when you're not having house shows every day, it seems like a lot if you're on TV. But I could have wrestled him every single day. I loved working with Brian.
I think this has been fun to watch this and for remind all of us how much you worked with Brian in this time period that are now watching you and your son and Brian, you know, Jr. working together again. This is a great time period that we've gone through the last several weeks as a reminder just how much you did work with Brian, and now to see Brock and Pillman Jr. kind of working together and have opportunities. It's fun to see as a wrestling fan.
I would really like to see Brian Jr. evolve. I think he has so much athletic ability and so much potential. And when you see Brian and you watch Brian work and then you watch Brian Jr. work, you know, maybe we could simulcast them and do the split screen. Ooh, I almost killed the mic here.
Hey, all good.
Do the split screen of those guys running as high spot side by side. You can see the similarities. And I guess there's certain things, genetics and thing you pick up watching your dad, you know, over the years. And Brian Jr. has a lot of those qualities that Brian did.
He certainly does. And before we move on from this topic, I got to ask about Larry because he's on commentary to start this off. What did you think about Larry on commentary? Did you ever get to listen to any of his work?
Larry was great, and he had whatever. I'm not sure where Larry was from. Was he from Wisconsin or somewhere? What is that?
That Minnesota. I mean, he worked in Minnesota for Vern. I'd have to look to see exactly where he's, you know, his origin, where he's from.
But. He has what's the word I'm looking for? He has this.
A dialect?
It's a dialect. And it's, you know, it almost sounds like he's from some other country, but he's not.
He's a Pittsburgh guy, if I remember correctly.
Maybe that's it, and it's just the tone of his voice or the way he delivers things. But he has his own. It's like, oh, my God, they're saying Larry sucks. Larry, they mean it. You know, it's his own. He's like he's got his own tone.
He does.
And that's what kind of reels you in to listening to him. Plus, he talks intelligently and articulately. But then he'll give you some example that makes no sense that he had just proven his point, and then he says something else, and you go, well, damn, that don't make any sense, Larry.
Arn, he was born in Chicago, all right, in December of 51, but then he's billed from Pittsburgh, PA. He went to Penn State as a collegiate wrestler, okay? And then he came out of the Pittsburgh area. So at some point, he transitioned out of Chicago and into Western Pennsylvania. So a mixture of Chicago and Western PA, that could do it every single time with your dialect, that's for sure.
Well, and, you know, and he could work.
Yeah.
You know, I knew he could wrestle. You know, he knew how to
draw heat, man. I tell you, on the mic, and he was a heat magnet.
Yes, it was. It was a great heel, and it clicked right away. We complimented each other right away.
Yeah, so. I'm with you. Well, listen, moving on in the month, you and Larry tagged together against the Yellow Dog and rookie, let's listen to this carefully, rookie Dustin Rhodes. Okay.
Wow.
So we're going to get into some of this. Dustin, as we know, is someone that you think very highly of. I mean, I'm sitting here watching him on Rampage. He's starting stuff now with Swerve Strickland. And here we're talking 1991. And man, you played a major role in his early career and development. You know, you wrestle them a lot here in these days. When given the opportunity, Arn, to work with the raw, young, natural in Dustin, what was your reaction when, you know, maybe it was Dusty who said, hey, I'm going to have you work with my son?
I don't remember exactly what he said, but Dusty didn't like pull me aside and say, you know, take care of the kid. He didn't say anything like that. He just said, "Dudley, you're with nothing today. Do your thing. He knew that I knew what my job description was, and I was honored to do it, to be handed Dustin when he was in his lean years. And I got to remember, whatever experience he had, it wasn't on TBS. And once you walk out on TBS, you go around the world and you are judged universally. So nobody had to tell me, you know, that I needed to get the kid off on the right foot. And I loved it. You know, whoever named him the natural, and I got a feeling that might have been partly Dusty, partly Dustin, who knows. But it just fit because he was a natural. The kid was smooth as silk. He could work from day one. He sold great. He had good offense. He had good fire. All those components that you need as you get and develop longer in the business, he picked it up right away.
Was there a part of you, Arn, because of what Dusty did for you and your career, and you've talked about it on the show,
what he did
for you, did you feel like, you know what, this is my opportunity to give back to Dusty a little bit as far as what I'm going to help do with his son?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, sometimes, you know, Dusty was the booker, and he was a lot of guys' boss for a long time, and you're just going to accrue heat with guys. You know, you tell two guys who are having a match, you know, this guy's going to win, this guy's going to lose. You're going to have a 50% negative reaction to making all those decisions, you know, in people's lives. And I didn't want Dustin, you know, to be one of these kids that comes up, you know, through the ranks, and his dad was a big star in the business, who the guys put the screws to just because of who his dad was and maybe what they perceived his dad did to them in their career negatively. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. I didn't want to see him. I wanted to see him have a fair shake. You know, he was so respectful from day one, such a polite kid. You know, they just, you know, they deserve, and just like Cody when he came up, they deserve an even chance. Don't penalize them. Don't give them any free ride. You know, I don't want Brock to have a free ride. I've said millions of times that he's earning his way along a little bit at a time. I don't want any of the young guys to ever feel like that they deserve to be grandfathered in, but I don't want the older guys to penalize them because who their father was.
Yeah. That's it. I think you nailed it, because as soon as they have the last name, they're already kind of branded, right? Oh, they're such and such as kid. It's just automatic. That's natural for people to now look at him under a little bit of a different lens. They're going to judge him a little differently. When you hear someone's last name is Orton, when you hear someone's, you know, last name is Flair, Anderson, it doesn't matter. Rhodes, it's just a little different. But you're right. It shouldn't be. And it should be, let's judge this kid's talents for what it is. And you're talking about Dustin, and I can't help but think of a guy who started as the natural. He goes on, becomes the Gold Dust gimmick, but not only the Gold Dust gimmick, but he lives a rough life there, personal demons and challenges, overcomes them, all of them. Now look what he's doing. He's got his own wrestling academy. He's still doing his thing at AEW from time to time, probably some of the greatest shape that he's ever been. How proud would the American dream be? A lot of talk about Cody right now, but how proud would he be of what Dustin's been able to accomplish, you know, in his 50s now at this point in his career? I'm assuming he would be very proud of what Dustin's been able to accomplish. Just so happy for him.
Better believe it, you know. And now, you know, I'm sure that day in question that we have, that we'll be looking at the clip, me wrestling Dustin, I never pictured however many years or decades ahead him being a mentor. Yeah. I mean, how do you skip from where we started to where we are right now? But he is, and he's I see him work with the girls, and I see him work with the, you know, the guys at TV, and, you know, he bends over backwards to help them and make it make sense. And the fact that he has his own school, that's awesome. I mean, he has sunk through the depths, which is not, you know, a surprise to anybody. He's told his story.
Yeah.
And he told it to me sitting in a room one day, and I had not one clue about a lot of it, about the demons that he battled, which we've all had demons and we've all battled them. But, buddy, he really had some. And to have overcame what he did and be back where he's at is a testament to the man he is. Got nothing to do with who his brother is or who his father is. That's all on Dustin, and very, very proud of him.
Arn, our first question this week comes from Scott Golden, and he wants to know if there was a lot of pressure on you and Larry when working with Dustin because he was Dusty's son at this time and Dusty was in charge of booking. Did you feel it at all that way, or didn't even look at it like that?
No. Whatever Dusty said, I don't remember. It was just one line, you know. Just gave me the confidence that I had his confidence. There was not a long question Q&A about it. There's no long, hey, I need you to do this or that and the other. I knew. And Larry knew.
So Dusty basically handled it like a professional, you know? That's exactly what it sounds like.
Yep, yeah. He never approached me as the booker or as the father. He just, it was like a, just a, almost like a, you know who you're wrestling today. Tad up.
There you
dub,
go.
Double. Yeah, it was a pleasure. And when they, you know, the thing about it is I would have done the right thing in the match anyway. But when they're that talented, it's easy. My God. You know, forget about what I was doing for him and Larry was doing for him. What the hell was he doing for us?
Great point. Well, listen, let's jump into it, because our next clip is Dustin and the Yellow Dog, Brian Pillman. They're teaming up against you and Larry, the Enforcers. The Yellow Dog will work most of this match, but Dustin earned the victory for their team thanks to a distraction from Flying Brian. Here it is, second clip of the week. It's August 3rd from Worldwide of 1991. Let's check it out together.
Surety here. We did talk about the experience, but a guy who has an uncanny amount of experience for his young age is this Dustin Rhodes. I mean, we talk about natural athletes, but it's really hard to get seasoned in a relatively short period of time, and I see a lot of maturity in this young man. I like what I see, and I see great things for him in the future.
Reversal to a hammerlock, and quickly Zbyszko, the veteran he is, got to the ropes. He is the master of psychology in the ring. He can really turn things around. He continually complains to the referee. I've never seen anything like it. I know him very well, and he is a master of that, but also a tremendous competitor. Picks up Dustin Rhodes, turn an offensive move into a belly to back.
Well, with the wrestling skills that all of these men in the ring possess, it's a wonder anybody has to have a bad attitude or would have to utilize the referee or trying to break the rules. This should be a great competition. But with a bounty on a mask, anything can happen. And the Enforcers have been known to break the rules on more than one occasion.
Immediate tag to the Yellow Dog. Anderson still in there. Having the Yellow Dog now send him in. Zbyszko got the knee up. That was premeditated right there. They knew exactly what to do, did the Enforcers.
Well, it was a setup. It's a common maneuver to use in tag team action. And they're going to really try to capitalize on this. They're going to try to cut the ring off, keep a fresh man in, and keep the Yellow Dog from being able to make that tag.
Snapmare. And now Zbyszko going right after the mask. He's wasting no time. He's going right after the hood here. And the Yellow Dog is up. Zbyszko's still pulling. Yellow Dog is biting, as you can see on the mask, preventing Zbyszko from pulling it up. But Zbyszko right back to the offense again.
Well, you know, it's a bounty situation. You know, normally in a match, pinfall is the objective. But in this particular instance, the pinfall isn't really the most important thing. The most important thing is disclosing to the world, if you might say, who exactly this Yellow Dog is.
Yellow Dog fighting back, slapping Anderson down. Anderson immediately makes a tag, and look at this. Tremendous work by Anderson preventing the tag from the Yellow Dog.
You see that little quick kick to the short ribs. I mean, Zbyszko knows how to make it count every time he gets the advantage, and he will punish the Yellow Dog until he gets him where he wants him.
capacity crowd on hand, trying to get the Yellow Dog back into it.
I have to say the fans have definitely been supportive. I think we have somebody down here ringside. I don't think our
cameraman
hasn't quite picked him up yet.
Look, look down at ringside. That's Flying Bryant. That's Flying Bryant.
Well, that's what all the controversy is about. I mean, the Yellow Dog's in the ring. Where's Flying Bryant? What's going on here?
Dustin rolls up to Bisco and gets it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here are your winners, the Yellow Dog and the Natural, Dustin Rhodes.
So there it is. He is not the Yellow Dog.
Well, we had a little chicanery there with the switcheroo of the Yellow Dog. But listen, Dustin's obviously the beneficiary of some outside interference and goes over on Larry. But, man, we talked about it a little bit last week. Flair's gone, right? So with him being gone now, there's an opportunity for you and Larry and others to now kind of play the mentorship role as they start to bring along some of this younger talent. You see Dustin now entering, he's now part of the fray and part of the talent. And you're going to wrestle him around the house show loop. And you lost to him at the UIC Pavilion in Chicago in front of a modest crowd at 1,500. But these one-on-one matches now, Arn, that are starting to happen, allow Dustin to really get some significant reps. You've talked about how important that is for these young guys to really develop. And he's working with you one-on-one all throughout these house show loops. We talked about it a little bit earlier, Arn, about how he's now regarded as one of the best teachers in the business. You have also helped a lot as far as teaching them the business, the ins and outs of the squared circle. What in your mind, Arn, are some of the attributes that make a good teacher, trainer, and mentor for other wrestlers inside or outside the ring?
Patience, recognizing that young talent don't know what they don't know, letting them know that it's okay to not just follow suit and do what they've seen other wrestlers do before them. You know, there's a lot of copying going on now. Back in my day, you wouldn't have never stole or copied other guys' moves. It was disrespectful. You'd have probably got one warning, and then you would have had a trip to the bathroom, and we know that trips to the bathroom don't turn out too well for one or the other. When you don't pay attention, that's how we resolve things back in the day. But you gave them a chance. And you have to, when you're working with talent, what I try to do is watch a match, see all the positive things that they did, or if there's just one or two positive things, but you always bring those up at first. Hey, you know, this was really good. This was pretty good. You might want to move this over here or move that over there. You know, and you get their confidence up that you're not shitting on them right away, because if you do that, a lot of times they're going to just tune you out and go, oh, he's going to beat me up over this. Here we go. And they'll just not hear the positive stuff. And if you do it in a way, but you say, you know, you might want to, how about this? This was pretty good, but what if you put this in there or that in there? Because I've seen you do this or that and you do it really well. You're starting to give them some confidence, and they see that you have been watching their matches and you do know what you're talking about and you're not just bullshitting them, you know, and they start to catch on to that and they respond to that. And I just advise people, you know, talent in this business, guys or girls, the biggest no-no is do not do things on television or in house shows for that matter that you do not do well. Because we have a pretty sophisticated audience that once they develop a feeling for you one way or the other that, hey, he's just not ready, or he's just not good, or he's damn good. I can't wait to see this guy work again. Whatever those preconceived notions they come up with, you know, our fans stick with them. So don't go out there and shit the bed if you can avoid it.
You're right. I mean, wrestling fans watch a lot of wrestling and they pick up on that stuff and have a sense for it. And they can have a sense for when they can tell a guy maybe doesn't feel comfortable or that messes up once, twice, doing things maybe outside their skill set, I guess you could say. I don't know, but you're absolutely right. You're right. Well, listen, I had just talked about Flair's departure presenting some challenges. For instance, I want to give you an example here. Following the conclusion of the Great American Bash main event, which we had talked about, remember Flair exits, so you had Luger and Barry Windham have to have that match. You had Luger turning heel, and he joined with Harley Race. So this is a time when he's with Harley. The two wrestled on the loop for the world title in the same semi-main event. Most of the shows, you had Barry and Luger. Very quickly, though, Barry would reassume the role of the babyface in these matches, always coming up short to Luger thanks to outside interference from Race and Mr. Hughes. This is Luger's third run working heel in the promotion, but this time, instead of being paired with the Horseman, Arn, Luger is now seconded by Harley Race. In your opinion, what purpose did adding Harley to this presentation serve Luger?
It's impossible to dislike Luger when he looks like he looked. You know, he just looked so good, you know, that the guys all wanted to look like him, the girls all wanted to be with him. It was just one of those situations that, I mean, he looked like $1 trillion. But if you put a negative career former world champion like Harley Race and the negative things that he was able to bring, you know, Harley was a heel's heel. But people respected him and they respected his word. And when you put Luger with him, it gave credibility to, you know, Luger by being with Harley. Mr. Hughes was just out there to do the numbers thing.
Right.
You know, and once you kind of, okay, well, he's got a bodyguard out there. He's got a former world champion, Harley Race, advising him, you know, and there was enough of a package there to pseudo make him a heel, kind of.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head when you just said that one word, credibility. That Harley Race, that was all over him, credibility. If you had any knowledge of NWA, his tenure as world champion, and the announcers, even if you were a kid, did it always a nice job of explaining who Harley was and what he meant to the business. And then on the mic, Harley could still cut, you know, a wicked promo, a mean-spirited promo, and just having that mouthpiece and that presentation, as you would say, with Luger, just gave him an edge that was a different kind of edge than maybe what he was with the Horseman.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, the official turn of Barry as babyface came at the Omni in front of 5,000 fans, and he wasn't even in the match. Instead, the All-American from Florida State and certified badass, the guy you're going to see this weekend, Ron Simmons, challenged Lex Luger for the world title. The finish to this one came when referee Bill Alfonso was knocked down and Mr. Hughes would use the chair on Ron. Afterwards, Luger hit the pile driver on Simmons onto the steel chair, and Barry came out to make the save. You have Hughes, Luger, and Race then beating down Barry in front of the Omni crowd, and that officially completed the babyface turn for Barry Windham. But what really emerged, Arn, as from the entire angle, was now Ron Simmons. He is a viable challenger to the world title. I think that's exactly what everyone's looking for at this point. Dusty's working his mojo booking in the background, and now Ron Simmons is finally now being elevated to that main event picture. Talk about that decision and what it meant for Ron.
Well, just look at him. And when you're talking about Ron Simmons, has got about 10 Hall of Fame rings from different, you name it, you know, wrestling, college football, Aloha Bowl, you know. I see him sometimes when I'm sure he's just in a goofy mood. He'll have about 6 rings on, sitting there signing. And the thing is, though, he earned every one of them.
Yeah.
He's a special athlete that comes along just every 20 years maybe, that can just is just so exceptional in every facet of what he does. You know, he was the best college football player, obviously, in the country. He was voted for the Heisman as a lineman. You know, he had people voting for him for the Heisman it's not even an award they give to linemen. You know?
Unbelievable.
You know, the guy was told at one point was a 600-pound bencher, and I don't doubt it because I've seen him do ridiculous things with 405 just in the gym, just doing reps, in a pair of jeans and cowboy boots and a tank top. I mean, I've seen that. I mean, he was just an animal. And I've said before, when Ron Simmons whips you in for a power slam and you come off, I just, you know, I just felt like a baby in his arms. It was the whip on it. The just the, how easy he did it, and just the it's just something that humbles you. When you land, you're just glad to be alive, and it's, you know, and he's a Class A gentleman. I've got to, you know, be pretty good friends with Ron over the years, and he's just a special athlete. Now he's homing in on, you know, attempting to be the world champion, black world champion.
That's right. It wouldn't happen until the following year, Arm, but he's right now, this is the push. He gets inserted into the title picture from here. He's going to go on to face Luger in a 2 out of 3 falls match at Halloween Havoc. So, but this is the moment in time where that starts to happen for him. How cool is that?
That's the precursor.
Yep.
Things to come.
So there you go. Ron Simmons, right? And we talk about it. There is a ripple effect. Again, Flair has moved on. We have to start finding who are our next baby faces. Insert Dustin, the natural. Insert Ron Simmons. We've transitioned Barry Baby. So, you know, lots of things have to change in the company, but it's not all necessarily bad, right? It means opportunity for others, and that's what we're seeing here.
Well, it's a startup company. We're basically starting from scratch and rebuilding a company and a company policy. It's not Jim Crockett Part 2. WCW is a brand new company, and you don't build one in just a few months. It takes a while.
And in your mind, Ron Simmons, there's no doubt, was ready for this moment. He was ready.
You bet he was.
Arn, Ron Simmons did not just wrestle Lex Luger in August of 1991. In fact, in what can be described as a moment of pure lunacy, you tried your hand with Ron Simmons.
Oh
yeah, you did. And we have the match, pal. Clip 3 this week, Ron Simmons and the Enforcer. He's going to make him feel like a baby. That's right, in those arms. It's NWA Pro from August 24th. You ready to check this out and see if he destroys
you? I can already give you the Cliff Notes version of this. It's going to end badly.
Let's see if it does. It's August 24th, 1991, the day Ron Simmons manhandled the Enforcer. Here we go.
Blow to the back of the neck. We're going to be taking a look a little bit later on a situation involving Ron Simmons and Barry Windham and the world champion Lex Luger right here this week on Channel 9. You want to stay tuned for that. But right now, Ron Simmons is really involved in a heavy match here because Arn Anderson taking the fight right to him now.
Come on, Arn.
Larry, would you please be an analyst instead of, come on, Arn, that's all I'm hearing here for crying out loud.
Come on. And Ron Simmons is a big man, which means it takes a lot of amount of wind to keep that oxygen with all that muscle tissue. Arn Anderson here working on the breathing capacities of Ron Simmons, not going strength to strength, wearing him down. I don't care how big and strong you look, but you can't breathe. You're not worth nothing, baby.
Reverse chin lock. Come on, Ron.
Yeah, pretty soon it's going to be you and me.
Elbow. Into the ropes. Oh, yes. Arn Anderson with a great counter move. As Simmons had telegraphed that one, Anderson came off nicely done.
He did. Like I said, Arn can outflick this man and outsmart this man. Just keep to that game plan. Go, Arn.
Into the corner.
Ah!
Right hand.
That's a close fist right there. It's an illegal move by Simmons. Kick out.
Two count, and Arn does kick out. Right hand to the chin.
Yeah.
Wow, got him. Anderson rolls him up. This
good
could
move.
Be it. Two count. Simmons escaped on that one, and a great move by Simmons to get out of it.
That's it.
Three-point stand! Stay right here!
Come on! Got it!
Here is your winner, Ron
Arn, as soon as we saw you climb the ropes, we should have known that it was lights out. I mean, what are you doing, buddy?
There was no shock factor involved there. Did you see the body on that guy? God almighty.
He is ripped, shredded, jacked, and all of the above, man.
Big, strong, powerful.
Strapping and vascular, as Vince would say. He's vascular.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Please don't say what Vince would say.
All of a sudden, Arn hates me now.
Oh, man.
But listen, dude, he, you know, you do your move and your somersault onto the canvas, and then it's just that big shoulder tackle. You didn't even have to worry about the power slam.
It don't take a lot to beat me if you're Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
He has more than one move. Yeah, I mean, the guy just, you know, when you look at world-class athletes, and Ron is a world-class athlete, you know, football was his business. Wrestling was a second occupation. But when he does both with ease, almost effortlessly, you know he is exactly what we're pitching him as. He's a world-class athlete, period.
You know what would be fun sometime, and we'll have to work on this. I'd love to have Ron Simmons come on the show. Maybe we do a guest. I'd love to hear what some people think on social media about maybe the Arn Show having a guest every once in a while. And how fun would it be to have Ron on, Arn?
Damn.
Yeah,
I would be honored to have Ron on the show. Absolutely.
There you go. Maybe as we get closer to his big championship win, we can do some.
That's an idea.
That's
a great idea.
There we go. Well, listen, in our final segment this week, we're going to return to the World Tag Team Championship Tournament because that's going on in August of 91. At this point, we have you and Larry, and you'd made it to the semifinals of the tournament, and you're taking on Firebreaker Chip and Todd Champion, known as the Patriots, Arn. The winner of this one was set to face Rick Steiner and Bill Cashmere in the finals of the tournament. We have the pre-match promo and the conclusion of this one from World Championship Wrestling on August 24th, Arn. Here we go.
On the broadcast, the Enforcers will take on the Patriots in a semifinal match. The winner will advance to the finals and hopefully become the new World Tag Team Champions.
You know, I've seen a lot of losers come and go over the past 15 glorious years. Next week, we're adding two more names, and I'm talking about the Patriots, Chip and Todd. You know, if this fireman had any brain, he'd realize that when you play with the stuff, you get burned. And if this Todd Champion learned anything from being in the special forces, then he will know more than anybody. He will know more than anybody that the pen is not mightier than the sword. So when you get in the ring and you see Arn Anderson and you see Larry Zbyszko, you will know more than anybody that we are the next WCW Heavyweight Tag Team Champions of the world.
As I sat in the back area, I looked around at 50 of the finest athletes it's ever been my honor to be associated with. And each and every one of them would sell their soul to be the World Tag Team Champions. So if you are in fact going to tempt fate and step in to the inevitable and make your interruption, understand one thing. We will go to any lengths to get what we deserve. Walk away. The life you save may be your own.
And Anderson, whose family has a tremendous legacy in tag team wrestling, now wrapping the knee around the ring post.
Anderson, as I mentioned before, I don't think there is a better tag team wrestler in the sport than Arn Anderson. He was simply fascinating with Tully Blanchard. He's been fascinating with every partner he has had. He has won championships around the world. And now with Larry Zbyszko, I personally think they mesh better than any partner that Anderson has ever teamed with.
Including me.
That thought had left me. I thought for good. There's a counter move by Champion, inside cradle, and we got two there, and Anderson quickly makes the tag, but more importantly, he restricts Champion's path to his corner.
And in comes Larry Zbyszko, and something else that we should point out. Anderson, the southpaw, Zbyszko comes from the right. Both men very adept at using their hands. Zbyszko with tremendous karate knowledge. Anderson, not just a wrestler, but he can street fight as well. These men mesh perfectly. That's why. And I know they're going to get by the Patriots. That's why these are the next World Tag Team Champions.
They will meet at the finals on September 5th at the Clash of Champions. Rick Steiner and the World's Strongest Man, Bill Kazmaier. Well, that's a power team and a half. Steiner and Kazmaier, and that'll be, of course, as we said, live here on TBS Thursday night, September 5th. Don't miss it. Get your friends together to have a big Clash of Champions party. It starts at 8:05 Eastern Time, and the snow party for Zbyszko. He makes the tag after the suplex. Firebreaker Chip back in with Arn Anderson. Remember, they are the legal men. Tremendous strength by Chip, scooping Anderson as Zbyszko up. He can take it to you in the air as well with those drop kicks. And now all four men in the ring. Watch the experienced team of Zbyszko and Anderson in this chaotic situation. He tried a power drive. It was counted.
Got him.
He got him from behind. Anderson's got him wrapped up. He's also got the ropes, and the enforcers win it any way they can.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winning team advancing in the tournament, the enforcers!
Strategy! Mind over matter.
Mind over matter. Before we get to some questions, before we wrap up this week's episode, Arn, how good's Jim Ross? We talk about it, but you know what I liked? He really did a nice job of reminding everyone how great of a tag team wrestler you are. He talked about Telly, and he talked about some of the other tag teams, but his realism in calling the play-by-play of wrestling and making sure to do that storytelling and history, really enjoyed that in that clip.
He added the details to every single match that he commentated over. He pointed out things that you might not be watching for, you know, like the shot in the back of the head from Larry from behind, all those, and grabbing the ropes for extra leverage on the pin for me. That's the kind of stuff you have to point out, because to the naked eye, if you're watching it, you're looking for the big stuff. You're not looking for the details. And the details are what makes the difference.
Yeah, true play-by-play announcer, JR. And to me, I really enjoyed this piece of his work. He did it again in the Attitude Era and things like that. But man, when he left UWF and came here and was doing his thing with World Championship Wrestling, Crockett, and then the WCW, really enjoyed it. Arn, that's going to wrap us up for this week. But before we get out of here, as I said, we got a few fan questions I want to get through. So we'll do those, and then we'll officially close things down. Friend of the show, Drew Landry, writes in, and he says, Arn, you do a great impression of Larry. If he wanted you to tag in, what would that sound like?
Oh, Arn, I can't carry the team. You've got to pull your own load. Tag in, Arn. Jesus.
Oh, so good. Oh, love it. Nick Lenz wants to know, how was Larry as a tag team partner compared to all the others that you tagged with?
When he was on, he was as good as anybody. You know, there was times that Larry wanted to stall Larry Stahl, and that's great if you're in a single match and the audience are getting with it, you know, because it would drive them insane. They would chant, stall Larry Stahl. But when you're in a tag match and he's stalling, that means I'm standing out there with my hand on my bud, nothing to do, not so much.
Listen, this is a fun question, and I just shot you a text. You don't have to look at it now if you don't want it. But Brian Haremza says, he's the one who's been working through that history of WWE.com and the book, the WCW book, and he's been asking so many awesome questions. And he said, I've been doing some of my own research, and I found out that on August 5th of 1991, Bobby Eaton missed the show because he was taking a driving test. Did Bobby pass the test, and why would he be allowed to take the day off for this? So, Arn, I just texted you a picture of the image from that book, and you don't have to certainly check it right now, but sure as I'm living, it literally says Bobby Eaton missed the show as he had to take a driving test. Do you remember if he passed that test or not?
Was
he a good driver, Arn?
I never let him drive. But he had to have passed it because he had to, like, he was constantly running to the grocery store and the corner store and stuff when we were home in Charlotte. I saw him driving then.
Getting that candy, right?
Yes, keeping his candy load on full. But he would, in those days, because we still drove a lot, back and forth to Atlanta, back and forth to these towns. And if we weren't always riding together, you better have a license. And you couldn't even rent a car without a driver's license.
Yeah, it stood out. He messaged me about it and sent me the actual clip and was like, can you believe this? I'm looking at August 91, knowing the top was coming up. And they said that Bobby Eaton missed so he could go take a driver's license. And it just tickled him a little bit. And I'm like, well, there you go. We're going to ask
that. That would not have flown in the Crockett days.
Oh, really?
That would have never. No, you didn't miss a shot in those days, much less to go get a driver's license. It would have been scheduled earlier.
There you go. Well, that's good to know. Okay, so there's a little bit of answer there for you, Bryant. He also asked, you work with the fabulous Freebirds at the end of August. What are your thoughts on this version of the Freebirds? And did you ever get to work with the original version, which was Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts? So I'm sure at this point it's Jimmy Jam Garvin and Michael PSAs. Did you ever get to work with the original Terry Gordy and Buddy?
No, that we wouldn't have done that because we were two heel factions. You never had those, the Midnight Express and the Horseman deal. That's why it was so big. And it's, because you just didn't do that back then. The Freebirds were heels. You wouldn't have done it. The audience members would have just been, okay, we hate all you guys. Y'all kill each other. Who cares? Next.
Yeah, there wasn't so much flip-flopping, I guess, back then as there is babyface to heel. So there's lots of potential matchups that I guess as fans we kind of missed out on if you think about it.
Yeah, and Jimmy Garvin, it's hard to – he was in an unenviable situation trying to walk into the Freebirds after the other two were gone. It's just him and Michael. It was like a less-than version of the Horseman, man. It's hard to recapture that magic when you've been as hot as they've been over the years.
Matt Richards wants to know, our final question of the week, what was being said in the office and locker room when Bobby Heenan showed up with the big gold belt at SummerSlam? Did you think that was a big deal or not? So again, around the same time period here, Flair's left, took the belt. Do you remember any of the reaction of the wrestlers or the office once that big gold belt shows up on WWE TV?
If the truth is known, it became real at that point for the people that kept thinking, in our business, you become really jaded. You think everything's a work. All hell be back. It's just an angle. But when the title showed up, I guess that's it. And if the truth's known, most people that were ambitious and were looking to move ahead in the business just went, there's no Ric Flair there. I can advance in this company. That's a huge player to take off the top. That opens up a lot of opportunities for the rest of us. If they want to be honest about it.
But you don't necessarily recall any, holy shit, can you believe they're showing our championship belt on the TV? Okay.
No, I don't think guys would look at it as demeaning our company. It was just an opportunity. Hey, somebody's going to move into Flair's spot.
It was hey, okay, what does this mean for me?
That's might as immediate. Well be me.
Yeah, I got you. Well, Arn, listen, that's going to conclude us for August 1991, this week's edition of The Arn Show. Next week, we're bringing back that monthly favorite. That's right. It's Ask Arn Anything. Well, almost anything. We have a ton of questions. They're already queued up and ready to go. Keep posting them as you have them because we're doing this once a month, as I said. Arn loves this opportunity to interact with his fans, and I always look forward to these shows, Arn. We have a lot of fun with them. So can't wait for that episode. Also, we're over halfway through February, Arn. That means we're getting ever closer to your graphic novel. All right, Arn Anderson, My Life as Wrestling's Enforcer. So I can't wait. All those who contributed to the campaign and you've secured your pledge rewards, you're going to enjoy that soon with the release of the book. Arn, it's been a long time coming, my friend, and I know we talk about it every single week, but buddy, I'm looking forward to checking this out.
Me too. Me too. A lot of hard work's went into it. It's been a lot of Zoom calls and a lot of conversations with Dirk and his crew, Dirk Manning. So
yes,
SourcePoint Express.
Big shout out to Dirk
for all his work. Appreciate all you guys and all that you've done, all the hard work. And wish I had a list of the names that I could give you each credit. But anyway, hopefully it'll be in success, and the fans, number one, the fans will get to enjoy it.
Guys, listen, head over to arnlinks.com. That's where you're going to find all the links, whether it's to find our YouTube page, merchandise, our social media accounts, all the good stuff, arnlinks.com. And also check out adfreeshows.com. Arn and I are having a lot of fun over there doing bonus content each and every single month. Plus, I'm sure you've heard the name Gary Juster. Arn, you've heard the name Gary Juster before, haven't you?
Very well.
Yeah, well, he's been behind the scenes for the AWA, the NWA, WCW, Ring of Honor, and now he works with MLW. He just did an episode of The Insiders with Conrad, and then Mr. David Crockett sat down with Conrad, and he's taken all of our listeners on a monthly trip through Jim Crockett Promotions' handwritten notes. All this is over in the new edition of the book. Lots of fun stuff over at Ad Free Shows, so check it out. But man, Arn, that's it for us this week. I had a lot of fun with you, my friend.
Well, since you bring it up, let me just give these guys a plug. MLW, good luck to you. You're on reels.
Yes.
You know, I haven't had a chance to see your product. I will. I look very forward to it. We want, you know, I want, and we want, that being us, this podcast wants every company out there that's in business to thrive and do the very, very best they can and open up more opportunities and more slots for this talent that need a place to go and get seasoned and wrestle and get better. And you can't have enough successful wrestling promotions. And looks like they got a hell of an opportunity on reels. So good luck to you. All
there you
of
go.
You.
Yeah, well said, my friend. We're all fans of pro wrestling, and it's exciting to see for sure. Well, that's going to wrap us up this week. On behalf of the Enforcer, Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you right back here next week for Ask Arn Anything, right here on Arn.